Revelation cattle 20, or chapter 21. Thinking about cattle, so Dr. Lindsay came to me this morning. He's a ham operator now. He passed his test, and he had his handheld. We're trying to figure out how to program it so he can talk on the radio. Neither one of us have figured it out yet. The radios are smarter than we are. Revelation 21. Who has the first part of the verses? Isaiah, are you there?
Yeah.
All right. Revelation 21 and verse 1. And by the way, in the last chapter, we see the end of hell and the beginning of the lake of fire. That's where hell is thrown into the lake of fire. All right? And now we go from that horrible scene to beauty. And I want you to understand that. Beauty. All right? Go ahead, brother. 21, verse 1.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, where the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more.
Okay, hold on right there. Now, we see a new heaven and a new earth. Now, one thing that we need to understand about this, thank you for coming, is that this is at the end of the thousand-year reign when God creates a new heaven and a new earth. Now, New Jerusalem has been around for 1,000 years, all right? And God's Son is building that city today. That's the mansions. That's the mansions that God, Jesus said, I'm going to go and I'll prepare a place for you. And that's the mansion that God is preparing for us today. It's this New Jerusalem. All right? And Marilyn, could these, the new ones that came in, could you kind of just... Oh, okay. Because they need the lesson. All right. Okay. Our array. Somebody, I'll get somebody back there. All right. Now the first earth and first heaven are passed away. Now I need to get the chart out again for you also. I need somebody up here to give some of these charts out. All right. And you want to do that, Mark Reed? All right. And those of you that do not have this, this will kind of give you an idea. On that chart, you'll see the church age, and then you'll see the tribulation period, which is yet to come. All right. Most of the people have them, but some of the new ones don't. The new heaven and new earth are at the end of the millennium. All right, and it gives us a look into eternity. The book of Revelation is not chronological. And chronological means what? What does chronological mean? It's not in order. Chapter 1 is not always the beginning. All right, it might have something in the end that happens in the beginning. So it goes back and forth. So the interpretation of the book of Revelation, you have to be very careful. All right? Thank you very much, Margaret. Now, we see that there's no longer any sea. The sea is a very important cleaner of the earth. The sea is what cleans the earth. It cleans the earth and rejuvenates the earth. It cleans it up because if we didn't have the sea, we would be polluted to death in no time at all. All right? Okay, verse 2. Verse number 2. Isaiah, do you have that one?
And John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband.
All right, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Now, who's going to be the occupant of this city? The bride of Christ, all right, is going to be the occupant of this city. All right? Now, there's going to be a lot of people on the outside of this city. There are going to be a lot of saved people on the outside of the city. But the bride is going to be the occupant of the city. And the Lord said that his bride is going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, during the wedding feast of the Lord, a wedding feast lasts for 7 days, a Hebrew wedding feast. And for 7 years, there's going to be tribulation upon the earth. During this 7-year tribulation, that's the time of the wedding feast, and it's going to take place in this city. All right, the city of God. And we're going to see how God decorates that city. Okay? God decorates it with some beautiful things. Verse 3. Marguerite, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am. Mm-hmm. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God."
All right. Now, this is a beautiful, beautiful verse here, because this tells us the mind of God and God's love for his people. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle." The word tabernacle there, John 1:14. Someone go to John 1:14 and read that for me, please. John 1 and verse 14. Some of you fast ones. Who has John 1 and verse 14? John 1 and verse 14. Now, some of you missed the lesson that we had prior to this on giving, but we'll have another one. Okay, you got that one, Marguerite? Go ahead.
"And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth."
All right. Now, the Word became flesh. Jehovah became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, that word dwelt is the same word for tabernacle. It means he pitched his tent among us. He pitched his tent in human flesh. God became flesh so he'd be related to us and could be able to redeem us. All right? God is related to us. He created us. He is our Father. And now he's related to us physically. All right? And here in Revelation 21 and verse 3, it uses this term again. And right there in your Bible, the edge of the Bible, something, John 1:14, because that is very, very important. "Behold, the dwelling place of God is among mankind, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them." He will be among his people. He's always wanted to fellowship. When God created Adam in the Garden of Eden, God dwelt there with Adam. Did you know that? He walked among that, in that paradise with Adam. Guess who taught Adam everything? How many of you here in the schools and everything about man being a caveman and he had to learn this and learn that, whatever? You know, God taught Adam everything. I don't think there's a man on earth today smarter than Adam was. Because Adam named every animal. There are people still discovering animals today that Adam named. Back then, they haven't found since then. Well, man didn't evolve, he digressed.
Yeah, that's right.
And then God is going to just... It says here that he's going to just renew the heavens and the earth. Okay, and verse 4 is another beautiful lesson. Revelation 21 and verse 4. Revelation 21 and verse 4. Hannah, go ahead.
"He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away."
All right. Now, I want you to see something that's very important here about God and his people. It said, "And he shall wipe away each tear." You don't have to cry a whole lot of tears before you get God's attention. He's there at the first drop. All right? He'll wipe away every tear.
He knows every heartache.
Yeah, he knows every heartache. But you know something? We're going to leave all of that behind.
Amen.
There shall no longer be any death. The word death means separation. You don't die when you die. Did you know that? If you're a lost person, when you die, your spirit goes straight to hell. The holy place. Straight to hell. If you're saved, you go straight to be with God. Alright? But your body is separated from your spirit. Alright? Your body is separated from your spirit. Brother John, there's a paper back there someplace for you to get. And we haven't got to it yet, but it's sitting back there on the... There you go. No, another one. We are out of those? All right.
That's a good one.
I'll get some more and bring them to you next week. Those that didn't have them.
Do they have a copy machine in here?
Well, I don't know where anything is. It's a thing. All right, Revelation 21 and verse 4. Now 21 and verse 5. Let's go to Revelation 21 and verse 5. Christy, do you have that one? Revelation 21st chapter and verse 5? All right. Revelation 21 and verse 5. I'll let you get the next one so you don't have to hurry so bad. Who has that? Brother Bill.
Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful."
All right. He who sits on the throne said, "Behold," pay attention. That's what the word "behold" means. I am making all things new. Now, when is this? When is this all is taking place? On your chart now, if you look on your chart, the new heavens and the new earth take place. See right up here at the end of the chart here, it says destruction of the earth, new heaven, and new earth. All right, that's what that's going to happen. Somebody can call my name.
Yeah.
Oh, you forgot to give yourself one. All right, here you go. The beginning of the new heavens and the new earth. That's the eternal ages. That's after the great white throne judgment and everything. Well, right? These words are faithful and true.
Right.
Now in verse 6. Christy, are you there now? 21 and verse 6.
And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost."
All right. That's a beautiful verse, too. You could go on and teach for 10 hours on this verse right there. I am Alpha and Omega. He is Aleph and Tau. That's the Hebrew. In the Hebrew Old Testament, when it talks about the Alpha and Omega, it's the Alpha and Tau. The Aleph and the Tau. That's the first and the last Hebrew letters in their alphabet. He's the beginning and the end. Jesus Christ is who he's talking about. Revelation 1 and 8. Someone turn there. Revelation 1 and 8. Revelation 1 and verse 8. Do you have that one, sir?
Yes.
Could you read that for me, please?
But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have a part in the lake of which burneth with fire and brimstone.
All right. That was, I needed Revelation 1 in verse 8. Brother Bill, go back there.
I am the Alpha.
Go ahead, Bill. Revelation 1
and 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.
All right. Says the Lord. Says Jehovah. That's who's talking there. Jehovah. He who shall become. He's the beginning and the end, Brother Lee. Good to have you here. We're in Revelation 21st chapter. We taught a little lesson to begin with. Now we're going into this one. Revelation 21. Well, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, is Jesus Christ. Brother Lee told me something yesterday about Jesus Christ and the cross of Jesus Christ. He said, what did you say, Brother Lee, about the hub and the axle? And
The cross is the hub and God's eternal purpose.
All right. The cross is the hub of the wheel, of the spokes of the wheel in God's eternal purpose. God has an eternal purpose with mankind. And he has, if his eternal purpose is to bring you into fellowship with him and to put you to work in the eternal ages. Yeah. It is, we are going to share in the whole universe that God created. It's not just this world. It's the eternal universe that God wants to share with you. And he brings all of this about by the death of his son on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. To bring it, to buy us back, to put us in fellowship with him. And This Jesus that died on the cross of Calvary, he didn't begin there in Bethlehem. He is the eternal God. He is the eternal Jehovah. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am Aleph and Tau. I am the eternal one. I am the beginning and the end. Everything starts and ends with Jesus Christ, like that axle of a wagon wheel. He is the hub. Everything that is in God's eternal purpose, all is summed up in Christ. He said, I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life. Now, everything in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus Christ that was to come in the New Testament. Jesus went down into Egypt. Did you know that? Who passed over Egypt? And the Passover? Who passed over? Huh? No? I want to tell you something about this death angel business. There's no such thing as a death angel. I've heard people say that a million times. Who passed over Egypt? Jehovah passed over. He said, I have passed over. And the presence of Jehovah is what destroyed all of those that were not under the blood.
Well, he passed over those that had the blood.
Yes. They were covered by the blood. This is the same return of God. Remember, he said, I am the beginning, I am the end, I am Alpha and Omega. When he passed over Egypt. Now, the blood that was killed, the lambs that were killed, and they took the blood and put it on the doorpost. Well, actually, they put blood like here and here and here. All right? All those that entered that house were covered by that blood. Okay? And everyone in that house that had the blood on the door was safe.
I thought it was funny. Yeah. You connect those three points to get changed.
Yes. It was, this talks about the triune God.
Yep.
The Father died on the cross of Calvary. You know, he tasted death on the cross of Calvary. The Holy Spirit tasted death at the cross of Calvary. God the Son didn't do anything that the Father and the Holy Spirit didn't take part in. I'm going to tell you about that. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. If anyone comes to me, I'll give him thirst. I'll give him water, living water. In the wilderness, when Moses took Israel out of Egypt, and they went into this wilderness, and I mean it was a wilderness. There was nothing out there in that wilderness that would support life. Okay? It was a wilderness. It was an absolute, it was worse than a desert. You go out in the Mojave Desert at nighttime when the evening gets around in the summertime, and you'll see animals flittering around and everything. They're all hiding during the daytime because of the heat, but there's life out there. In this wilderness, there was no life. It was like the Death Valley, out in the most desolate area that you could possibly think of. They got out there and they got hungry. God gave them food. He gave them manna. Every day they got out and they could glean manna. Who gave them the manna? Manna means what, by the way? What is it? They didn't know what it was. By the way, manna, what did manna look like? What did it look like? Coriander seed. What's coriander seed? How many of you like cilantro? That's cilantro seed. All right, that's what it looks like. That's what manna looks like. Okay, how many of you knew that? Anybody? How many of you didn't know it? Okay, that's what it looks like. Coriander seed, which is cilantro. All right, that's what this manna looked like. And they would make bread out of it and cakes. They, like I said, they had manna bread and banana bread and whatever, pancakes, everything was made out of manna. But God was the producer of that manna. Then the water, they didn't have any water out there. God provided the water out of a rock.
And that's where we get our living water.
This is living water. Standing water is what you call dead water. Something in a well that is, or not a well, but a cistern. It's a container. It's like a cistern is like a great big water tank. That's not running water. That's what you call dead water. Jesus said, I'll give you living water. Mm-hmm. Revelation 21 and verse 7. Brother Lee, are you there? Have you got any of that? Revelation 21 and verse 7. Revelation 21 and verse 7.
He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
All right, now how do you overcome?
The blood of Christ.
By the blood of Jesus Christ. All right. He who overcomes shall inherit. Now that word inherit up here is set up just above this, that in verse 3, that God would dwell among us and you'll be my people. Not only will you be people of God, you're going to be heirs of God. You're going to be sons of God. All right? Heirs and sons of God. If you have children, they're your heirs. Okay? You gave them life, didn't you? All right? And then you gave them substance. Well, that's what God wants to do with you. He wants you to be part of his family. He wants to protect care of you. He wants to protect you. And he wants you to inherit these things. Inherit. He who overcomes shall inherit these things. What are these things?
Faith, love, hope, purity, honesty.
Well, wait just a minute. Now, that's what he gives you today. What are the things that he's talking about that you're going to inherit? Read the first part of the chapter. What is it? The new heavens and the new earth. All right? You're going to inherit that. There's an old story about getting a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. You ever heard that song a long time ago?
Yeah.
I don't know whether there's going to be any cabins in the corner of Glory Land. It's going to be mansions. It's going to be beauty. It's going to be... Well, you're going to find out in just a few minutes. That's why I wrote this little piece of paper up, and I know... I think I did 30 or 40 of them, and I don't know why we don't have enough of them.
Don't worry about it.
But we'll read it to you anyway. I'll bring some more of them next week. He overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my what?
Son.
That word son is heir. We will be his heirs. All right? Okay, 21 and verse 8. Now, you read that just a minute ago. 21 verse 8. You want to read it again now? We'll get that one. All right? Revelation 21 and verse 8.
But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
That's quite a contrast, isn't it? Does anyone here have the Amplified Bible? Translation called the Amplified Bible. Anyone have that? Nobody has that Amplified Bible. That's a good one to read.
The
Amplified Bible. It tells you from Greek and Hebrew what it says. It explains. Because that in English, it's just not enough a lot of times. All right? For the cowardly. What is a coward?
A person without courage.
All right? The cowardly. Now, you mean cowards aren't going to get into heaven because they're cowards? There's a lot of us that are afraid, aren't we? When you're going in for some kind of a terrible medical test, you're shaking and sweating in your hands and everything else a lot of times. I mean, you have white coat syndrome when you go into the hospital a lot of times. This is bad. That's scary. What, brother?
Someone stands by their own strength.
Yeah. Well, and unbelieving, are going to be left out. Those are the ones that did not believe in God. Those are the ones that did not believe in the Son of God. And then it says, abominable. Abominable. We have a lot of abominable people in the world, and we have abominable snowmen, don't we? Something like that. Abominable. Murderers. And the word immoral persons, that can be translated homosexuals. Plain as that. Immoral persons. And then drug abusers, sorcerers. And almost all ancient sorcery and you see witchcraft played up on today all the time. It's good witches and bad witches. There aren't any good witches and bad witches. They're all bad witches. All right? Witchcraft God hates because it is contrary to God. All witchcraft and all witches and sorcerers and necromancers and all this use drugs somehow to enhance their trade, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And idolatry. Brother Lee and I have been talking about idolatry a lot lately, haven't we? Idolatry. Some of the he reads the Pilgrim Fathers and everything, and you've heard me tell you about this some of the things of that. What is idolatry? What is it?
Worshipping
idols. Worshipping idols, and more than that. To put something in ahead of God. The little lesson that I talked to you about earlier today. We don't, a lot of people are religious, but they don't want to give to God. They don't want to share their world. And money, greed is what? Greed is the pregnant.
The pregnant mother of all sin.
That's right. Greed is a pregnant mother of all sin.
Instigator and ally of evil.
The instigator and ally of all evil. Greed. Greed is idolatry. It is. Greed is idolatry. So remember that when you go about your daily life. Alright. Greed is idolatry. And then it says about pseudo here. We have a liars. God doesn't like liars either. You know what? There are a lot of religious liars going on in the world right now today. There are false churches out there leading people away from Christ instead of to Christ. And where will their share be, their part? In the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the what? Second death. All right. These people are going to be twice dead, except they won't go out of existence. Hell. And we talked about this the last couple of weeks. Hell is a bad place, I'm telling you, and it's eternal. It doesn't burn up. When somebody dies from cancer or heart trouble or some leprosy or some terrible disease, a lot of times they say, well, they're not suffering anymore. People, if they are without Christ, they don't stop suffering. They are continuing to suffer. When they go to hell, I mean, they don't have a body or anything, but they're going to be suffering like they have eyes and and arms and legs and everything for all eternity. It only begins. The suffering is only beginning. Knowing the Lord is extremely important. God has a lot of beauty to share with you if you allow Him to. You know, volition is the most dangerous gift that God ever gave mankind. Volition. What is volition? Huh?
Choice.
The right to choose. 1 John 2:2 says that God provided for every man that was ever born. He provided salvation through Jesus Christ. Not all will choose. You know what you're going to be judged for? One of the things that the lost will be judged for when they come before the God of heaven? You're accountable for the blood of Jesus Christ that He shed for you. Because He died for all mankind. Verse number 9. You got that, Brother Lee? Revelation 21, verse number 9. Revelation 21 and verse 9. Alright. 21 and verse 9. That'll teach you to lay your Bible down. I always have that sword out. I know, I saw you take it though.
Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife."
Alright, now these were the judgment angels. Angelos. Alright, you know, it's a very unusual thing. What is the gospel? How do you say gospel in Greek? Any of you know? Well, the gospel in Greek. How do you say gospel in Greek? Euangelion. Euangelion. All right, euangelion. All right. It comes from good, which is you, and angel is the last part of angelos. All right, we get the word angelos from the word euangelion. Good angel or good. What is an angel in the Bible? What does an angel do? Messenger or carrier of God's judgment or truth or whatever. So now we have the seven angels that brought upon mankind the curses of God. Okay? But now they have another job. A good job. Alright? Good angel. Good message. The gospel, alright? Come here, I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And then verse 10, Revelation 21 and verse 10, Brother Norm.
And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, ascending out of heaven from God.
It's called the Holy City now. And look up the four square city of God. It's a square. All right? I've got that on the little lesson I printed up for you, and I'm sorry if we don't have one for everybody. I'll get some more to you so you'll be able to stick it in your Bible, because there's some stuff on there that is very beautiful. The Holy City, the right reason why it's a holy city, because God's there. Holy, by the way, holy, hagios, that's the Greek word for holy, hagios. What does hagios mean? Saint is the word, holy one. Saint. When you're a saint of God, when you're saved, you are a saint, by the way. St. Paul, St. Peter, St. Frank, St. Lee, St. John back there. All right. St. Randy. All of these. All of you are saints that are saved. All right. Because you're born, the first time you're born of earth. You're born of your earthly mother and father. And that, you inherit death from that, because you're going to die. When you're born again, you inherit life. You're born from above. You're born out of heaven. That's the second birth. All right? Second birth. Now, Randy, are you there here in 21 and verse 11? All right, like a jasper stone, but clear as crystal.
The glory.
All right, the city. The glory of God. Now, this city is designed by God. It is decorated by God. And I want you to just think about it just for a little while. Okay? Having the glory of God, this city, the brilliance. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. What color is jasper? Huh? Well, it's green, all right? Purplish green, what we call cerulean, too, also. Okay. Now, by the way, some of the modern names for jasper, for stones, are not the same as what's used here in the book of Revelation, all right? So you might make a note of that, and I'll try to get all these things, because I wrote them down for you. Okay, it's like jasper. And then verse number 12, all right? Number 12, Dr. John, are you right there?
Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel.
All right. Now, verse number 13. Go ahead.
One gate on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west.
All right. Look at that triune God there everywhere. If you look at the number three. How many heavens are there? How many heavens are there that we know about? Three. Three heavens. All right. Talk about the three heavens. All right. Number 14. Number 14, Brother Lee.
Now the wall of the city was 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
All right. The 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now who did Jesus, the Lamb of the Old Testament, every Lamb that died in the Old Testament typified what to come? Christ to come. And now here it calls him the Lamb. All right? The Lamb. The sacrificial Lamb, by the way. All right? And then verse 15. Rosalie, have you got that? 21, verse 15.
The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its walls.
A gold measuring rod. Gold. Now, what's gold? You know, they're... Colors mean something, and metals mean something in the Bible. What does gold stand for in the Bible? What? Well, what? Deity. That's a divine rod. That's deity. This is a holy city, so you're going to measure it with a holy rod. All right? A holy measuring stick. Okay. Now let's go on. And verse number 16, Brother Bill, you there?
The city is laid out in a square, its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal.
Okay, 1,500 miles, basically. 1,500 miles square. Now, Brother Lee was telling me about a book that he had read on the area of the city, New Jerusalem. Tremendous. Do you remember that, Brother Lee?
A long time ago.
Yeah. You were talking, you read this book on that. There, I mean, if you had a large apartments, just think about this city. 1,500 miles square.
Square is the word.
Yeah.
Cube.
It's a cube. And in there are many mansions.
Mm-hmm.
Mansions. They're not little ghettos. This is not a ghetto. This is a mansion. And you just figure out how many mansions could be in this 1,500 miles high. Some of you like the high-rise buildings. Man, I'd be on the ground floor. I like to be able to get out. Go places, you know, wandering Indians. But somebody might want to be up there 1,500 miles high. Just think about that. The top floor. What they call that, the suite?
Penthouse.
Yeah. Well, here we have this mansion of God. 1,500 miles square.
Yeah.
All right. And number 17. Christy, are you there?
Yeah, and he measured its walls 72 yards according to the human measurements, which are also angelic measurements.
All right. Now, here's where we come into some real absolute beauty, he starts describing. Brother Joel, are you there? Revelation 21 and 18.
And the material of the wall was a jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass.
All right. Now, how many of you remember stories about the 1849 California gold rush? People were scrambling. There were doctors that gave up their businesses. There were lawyers. There were people in Japan. I mean, people from all over the world came to California in 1849, and they went on a tremendous, terrible sea journeys to get here, and across lands, just horrible, horrible travel, to get out here and scrap and dig around like you did out in the backyard when you were a kid making mud pies. They would be out there digging and scrapping for every little piece of gold. Every little nugget of gold. One man, I read a story about him up in near Sutter, California. And he saw some miners coming in from Yuba area, up on the Yuba River and streams up into there. And these guys were bringing big nuggets in and paying for all their stuff. Didn't have gold dust, they had gold nuggets. So one time he decided to go back up there and figure out where these guys had come from. You know, like, where are you from? Oh, Yuba area. Anyway, he followed them back up there, and he took some people with him, and it was a terrible journey because it was the middle of wintertime, and it was hard travel and cold and miserable. But they were gold hungry. They had gold fever. And they went up there into this area, and some of them dropped off and gave up in the along the way, and some people died. And when they got up there, they killed an animal. I think it was they caught a salmon. And they were going to boil the salmon in this pot. So they reached down in this great big pot that got just 9 or 10 pound salmon. They cut it up in pieces, and they went down to the stream, and they dipped up some water. And when they got to eating the salmon, they looked in the bottle, and there was gold at the bottom of the pot, and there was gold nuggets in it.
Wow.
All over the bottom. So they went out there, and I think they got $2,000 worth of gold, and gold was only worth about $16 an ounce, so you can imagine how much gold that was. They said sometimes in the pan they could get $1,000 to $2,000 worth of gold out of a shovel of gold that they put in a gold pan washing it. And they were scrapping, and they were starving to death. They didn't have enough food. Finally, it says that the flour sack looked more valuable to them than the gold sacks, which they had stacked up all over with gold nuggets. Scrapping. Scraping. And their hands were just, their fingernails were just worn down into the quick. Their fingers, and dealing with this, they were just bleeding all over. Going and scrapping for gold. Well, God, this city, the building stones are gold. The building stones are gold, and the foundations in between it are made out of precious stones. Jasper. That's a green, purplish green, beautiful stone. Now, I don't just forget what kind of stone it is and look at the beauty of the colors. Okay? Mm-hmm. But this is what the beauty of the colors is what is going on here. Where did we end up? Number 18, wasn't it? Pure gold. Now the gold, it says that the material of the wall was jasper and the city was pure gold. It means that this gold was green gold.
Oh, I love that.
Greenish gold. How many do you have any rose gold? All right, rose gold. It's kind of a pinkish looking gold. There's rose gold, there's green gold, there's yellow gold, there's white gold, and every shade in between. That's what this city looks like now. And then when you put stones with gold, what do the stones do? The stones gather light. And they sparkle and shine, and you see the brilliance of this city. All right? Now look at this 1,500 mile square city. And it's golden, and it's shining. Now, the Temple of Solomon was a very unusual temple. When you build a house, you have a certain amount of windows in it, don't you? What are the windows for? Well, breathing holes and what else? Okay, they gather light. You build a house with no windows, this room here doesn't really, it only has two little tiny small windows in the door. If you turn the lights off in here, it's black. Well, the Temple of Solomon, now, the walls were thick. Now, normally when you build a wall in ancient buildings, the outside of the window was larger than the inside because it gathered light and shined it inside. Okay? I want you to see something now. The tabernacle of God, the tabernacle that Moses built, typified the church of the Lord Jesus Christ during the church age. All right? It looks brown from the outside. It had no beauty at all. The world wouldn't accept it. But now the Temple of Solomon typifies the new city, the temple of God in the millennial reign, in the eternal ages. Now, normally, all the buildings gathered light and shined them in the building, but inside the Temple of Solomon, the walls and the floor and everything were solid gold. Had seven lampstands in there, by the way, seven lamps in it, burning. Now, it was different. It was like this. All right, just forget that. All right. Now what happens here? It's shining, gathering light from the inside to shine out. That's the Temple of Solomon. When they saw it, the windows in the Temple of Solomon were like great beams of light, like great, how many of you ever gone to a fair and you see these things, and sometimes they used to have whenever they had a grand opening or something, they had these big searchlights.
Oh.
All right. That's what Solomon's temple was. And it was built upon Moriah. Mount Moriah. And they could see it for many miles. And at nighttime when the lights in that temple shone, it was like beams of light, search lights coming out. That's what New Jerusalem is going to be like. All right. It's going to be like that too. Jasper and pure gold and like clear glass gold is polished to a beautiful sheen and shine. It just looks like it's glass. It looks liquid, doesn't it? Okay? All right. 19. All right. Who's got Revelation 21:19? Do you have that, young lady?
The wall of the city was built on foundation stones and laid with 12 gems. The first was jasper, the second was
okay, hold on there. Let's look at each one of these as we go. Jasper. What color is jasper?
Green.
All right, and the second was? Sapphire. Now, the first, this jasper, is a purplish green. Think about that. And then think about all the different shades of gold in the walls of this beautiful city. And this is looking on the outside, people, not the inside. The inside is more beautiful than the outside. Okay. Rubies and little ruby things and sapphire things. And one of the most beautiful things that I ever got for was a sapphire ring that had these beautiful blue stones in it. Blue stones. Blue like the ocean. Blue like the sky above. Blue is what? Typifies what? In the colors in the Old Testament, blue typified heaven. Alright? It typified heaven. Now we have this great New Jerusalem coming down out of where? Out of heaven. And it brings with it just a little bit of heaven, just blue with it, all right? The Native American people, if you did some great deed or sacrificed something, they would give you a coo feather. A coo feather. A coo feather was basically the center, there are two center tail feathers of a golden eagle. They're black and white. And these two center feathers are straight, okay? And those two center feathers is what they would be awarded. And you only got one feather per deed. And some of those Indian leaders, I don't say chiefs because there were no such thing as chiefs. They were leaders. They were not over other people. They were leaders. They were elevated because of their deeds. They were not the leaders. Okay? They were, well, leaders, but not chiefs. Every Indian tribe was a pure democracy. The people voted, and they did, and the women and men both had votes. Indian women had the right to vote long before American women did. I want you to know.
It's called collateral.
Well, they would take these feathers, and the golden eagle, they said, flew with God, up there close to God, and they brought a little bit of heaven down with them. And that feathers, those feathers that they had in there, and this, it give them God's blessing. So when you saw these coo feathers, you saw someone that was blessed by God to do what he could do. Alright? Now this sapphire, God is bringing a little bit of heaven down to the earth. As a matter of fact, he's going to bring heaven to earth. Okay. And heaven throughout the whole universe. And then the third is what?
Agate.
It says agate in yours?
Chalcedony.
Chalcedony. Alright. Now on this little thing, this chalcedony, is a milky bluish-gray stone that can be brought to an extremely high polish. It can shine.
But it's not transparent.
Yeah, it's not transparent. It's a milky bluish-gray stone. Okay? And it said your translation was agate. Okay?
Agate the same color?
Well, agates are different colors. Alright? But this one here, now remember, whoever translated that maybe didn't know Greek, because the colors that I'm taking here are colors that were the standard colors 2,000 and 3,000 and 4,000 years ago. Okay, so they're not, some of these stones are not exactly like the modern stones. Okay, so we need to remember that. It's one of the things I told you at the beginning. Okay, go ahead.
And the fourth emerald.
Okay, the fourth emerald. Now we know what emerald is, don't we? What is that?
Green.
All right. Emerald green, pure greens, tones of fine green. This is beautiful greenery. Now, in the Native American culture, green stood for something. It also does in the Bible.
Why?
It stands for life.
And healing.
Life and healing. The Indians, when they would stand and pray, they would pray in four directions. They would pray in the east, and they'd say, Father, let me always remember your power when the sun comes up in the morning, that this day is yours, it's not mine. And they turned to the north, and the north, by the way, that was gold, or yellow, orange, okay? That was a color for east, and they turned north, and the color for north was white. always remember, remind me and help me to keep my mind pure and my thoughts pure, and help me to learn and to understand and to be able to reason. And he turned to the south then, and the color of the south was green. And always help me to help others, to heal others, to be compassionate, and remember that. And when we see this New Jerusalem down, we can look at these and we can just look over the colors and stuff and never see the meaning behind them.
Right.
And then he'd look west. What kind of color do you think west would be? West. What happens when the sun goes down? It gets black. It gets dark. Black was the color, and it says, God, help me remember every day it could be my last day, because we all have to meet you. And of course, when he looked up, it was blue, and he looked down, it was red earth. All right, brown. Okay. And the, I've written my Bible up to that. I can't see that.
The fifth is R.
Okay, the fifth is Sardonyx. And that comes from Sardony, and, or Sardion, and Onyx. Okay, now this is different than the modern onyx. What color is onyx?
They say black.
Okay, say it's black. Well, during this period of time now, because this is not just a pure black stone. This stone it's a multicolored stone, and it has white in it, and it has flesh colors in it, and dark colors, and alternating layers. Okay? It is a layered stone. It is like swirls of beauty in it. All right? In this sardonyx. All right, go ahead, Joanne. Okay. What we have? What's the other term for that?
Sardonyx.
Okay. All right. Sardonyx, and then carnelian or sardius. Okay. This it means a flesh-colored stone. Now, how did God redeem us? God became flesh, John 1:14, that he might buy us back. This will remind us the beauty. It's a beautiful stone, but everything in this city is going to remind us of one thing. It's like the hub of God's eternal purpose, as God shows us these things. All right? And the seventh was chrysolite. Chrysolite. It comes from chrysolithos. That's what it is in Greek. And it's topaz. Okay? Now, it's not... This chrysolite is an amber gold colored like quartz or diamond. It's gold colored. And we see the deity of God in this. The gold colored. Yet it's clear. Alright? And then the eighth is beryl. Beryl is a sea green color. A sea green color, all right? It's a beautiful sea green color. And then it says nine is topaz. Now, this is different from modern topaz. This is a yellowish crystal. Again, it's crystal, but it has a yellow hue to it, all right? A yellow hue. And number 10. 10th is a chrysoprase, all right? And that's a golden green color. What did Israel holler for when they were out there in the wilderness? What was one of the things they hollered for? They wanted spices. And what was the spice that they liked to spice their food up with? Kind of like an onion. It's a leek. Leek. We want the leeks of Egypt. They're like a big onion, all right? And they've got a mild flavor like that. Well, this chrysoprase is a golden green leek-colored jewel. Alright? And then 11. Okay. Jason. That's one of my favorite colors right here. Alright? That's the color of a hyacinth flower. And it's lavender. Alright, lavender. Then look at the color. God loves beauty just like you women do. My wife has decorated the house and you know, I don't care. just let me walk into the teepee and sit down. It doesn't make a bit of difference to me, but she wants to make it look pretty.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
You don't seem to be minded.
Number 12, amethyst. Now, what does amethyst mean? Huh? Amethyst. It means not drunk.
Oh.
Methamphetamine. Meth. It comes from two Greek words, alpha and methos. It means not drunk. That's what the stone means. It means not drunk.
So but, sober.
All right. The ancient people used to get an amethyst stone if they were drunkards, and they'd wear the stone around so they would not have the desire to drink.
All right.
Amethyst. All right. It's a deep purple violet color. That's a beautiful color, too. And then it says here that the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent. And pearls, by the way, come in every shade of color, don't they? You've seen pea pearls. You've seen black pearls. You've seen gray pearls, white. But every one of them had a sheen to it, doesn't it? It's a beautiful sparkle. How many of you have pearl in your car paint? It's real pearl a lot of times. They'll take just a little bit of this pearl and put it in your car paint and mix it up, and it just makes it shine. You can have black, red, all of this. It's like a metallic, except it's a natural metallic. And these gates are going to be metallic. Beautiful pearls. A solid piece. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God and the Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon or shine upon it, for the glory of God is illumined it, and its lamp is a lamb, and the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. Even see, they're even giving it this time. Think about that. And in the daytime, for there shall be no night there, its gates shall never be closed, and they shall bring glory to the and honor to the nations into it, and nothing unclean, no one who practices an abomination lying, shall ever come into it by those whose names are written, but those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, I hope you enjoyed that lesson today. I think it was uplifting. It was. We've had some dreadful lessons about the judgments of God. Now, next week, we're going to study a little bit about the stewardship lessons, and then we're going to go into the 22nd chapter of the Book of Revelation. And that's the end. And then the next week, the Lord willing, and the creek doesn't dry, and God gives us breath, and the rapture doesn't come, we're going to start with the doctrines of the Bible again. All of you that have wanted to do this, we'll start with the doctrines of the Bible again. Brother, Art, you want to come up here and